Tour Junkies.
What's up, golf addicts? David Barnett with the Tour Junkies. We are delivering for you an amazing podcast tonight, an amazing interview, a great guest, unlike any guest we've had on the podcast before, Pat. And I'm pretty excited about it. I know you're excited about it, Pat. And, you know, it's just...
Of course.
We're bringing the heat despite the tour season officially being over. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to lay down on the job. For the next couple months, we're bringing the heat, and it's going to start tonight. Are you excited about tonight here, Pat?
I am. I mean, yeah, definitely. Season's over. Time to do some different things.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So on the line right now, we have a guy who is a husband. He's a father, two boys. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is a golf junkie. He's a former kicker in the NFL, had a wonderful career in the NFL, most notably with the New York Giants, beating the brakes off the Patriots, two Super Bowls. And this is Mr. Lawrence Tynes at LT4Kick on Twitter and Instagram. LT, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me, guys. I've been looking forward to this.
Thanks, really?
I have. You know, I've been following you guys on Twitter, and yeah. I like what you guys are doing. I love startups. I know you guys are kind of new. So,
yeah.
I like to, help everybody out. So, especially when you mentioned you guys talk golf, and then I've seen some of your stupid videos on Twitter. I like stupid, so I wanted to be part of it.
Well, that you answered. You're just a pro guest because you answered my very first question. And my very first question was, how in the world did you hear about us, and how did we get on your radar? How did you stumble on us on Twitter?
I don't know. I've seen you guys like retweeting stuff or something with Kisner tagged in it. And
yeah,
as you know, we'll probably talk about Kisner's a buddy of mine. And so I was like, who are these guys? And then I think I saw a picture. You guys or Kisner or something, and then I saw that you guys had him on or something for a podcast, so I haven't listened to it yet, but I plan on getting to it.
Yeah, you should. He's been on a couple times. Kis was funny. You know, of course you didn't hear about it because Kis was like, hey, LT, you love golf. You should listen to my two friends, David and Pat. They did this Tour Junkie podcast. It's great. No, Kis would not do that.
No, he's too busy making top 10.
Yeah, cash I guess check. So, LT, give our fans a little background on you. Like, I know you're a golf junkie. You're born in Scotland. Pretty cool. Dad was a Navy SEAL. Appreciate his service and your family sacrifice as well. So, talk about like being born in Scotland, the home of golf,
yeah.
And then moving to the States, football, and all that.
Yeah. So I was, my dad was in the military. Met my mom. And obviously my mom is Scottish, and he came back to America with three boys. I'm the youngest of three boys. So we're 39, 40, 41. And, 1978, I was born. We moved to, Milton, Florida in 1989. So I was almost, I was 11 or maybe just turning 11. And, we settled into the little panhandle of Florida. So, I was a big soccer player, loved soccer, loved golf.
Of course.
I used to tag along with my dad when I was like six or seven. He would play his early rounds on the weekend. I would go and just have a club. And, I got to be a pretty good golfer probably in my early teens, 12, 13, 14. And then I stumbled across a guy by the name of Bubba Watson, a guy by the name of Boo Weekly, and a guy by the name of Keith Slocum. So we're all from the same town, if you can believe it. And Milton's only like 9,000 people. And I know people say, well, Bubba's from Baghdad. Well, Baghdad is like a house in Milton, just called Baghdad. So there's like five homes over there. But I'll be honest with you, those three guys, and I didn't really play much against Boo and Heath because they're a little bit older than me, maybe like 3 years older than me. But I played a bunch with Bubba, and I mean, when he was beating you by like 8-9 strokes on 9 holes, that's tough to swallow. And so,
I'll play soccer.
Yeah, and so I was like, you know what? I mean, if I can't beat this kid in my town, of 9,000 people. And granted, we would play in Pensacola with a bunch more other guys. So, but still, I was always like, you know, top five and top three, but I'm still like six, seven strokes behind. I'm like, got to find something else. So I stayed with soccer. And then all my buddies my senior year convinced me to come play football. And I was like, well, what in the hell am I going to play? I was like 6'2", like 150. And I actually ended up playing safety and I kicked. So I loved the game. I just, it was a lot of fun. I actually, you know, took the kicking just like that. Eventually ended up at Troy University and where Josh Broadway, who's a guy you need to have on your show if you have it, by the way. Josh Broadway is a cross-handed guy. You guys know Josh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We know. Yeah.
Okay. So Broadway and I are super close friends. So that's how I met Kiz, through Josh. And we were basically roommates in college. We hung out, and I see Josh every year, and Josh would stay with me every time he played in the web event up here. And so that's really, you know, that's where my golfing kind of ended. I think I stopped playing mostly in college and then was lucky enough to get, an invite to training camp by the Chiefs in 2001. I was undrafted, and then that's when my career started. So 13 years goes by in a hurry when you're playing football. It seems like yesterday, but, man, it was a good run, and that's kind of like a little bio of myself, but yeah. That's really how I'm connected to the golf world is growing up with those three, going to school with Josh and, you know, hosting guys at my house in the web.com tour events. And obviously, you know, I work at Wheels Up now, and so I'm affiliated there in terms of sponsorships for golfers. So I love it. I mean, I love the game. I'm not a real good player. I'm like a 9 handicap, 10 handicap, but I can get it around, and I enjoy playing it.
Well, I definitely want to talk more about growing up with Bubba, Boo, and Heath Slocum at Wheels Up, but I do want to hear about the football first. So 13 years in the NFL, that's right? Is that right, 13 years in the NFL?
No, I had 10. So in the NFL. Yeah, so my career was kind of Chiefs in 2001. Then in 2002, I went to NFL Europe and played in Scotland again, which was kind of cool because that's where I was from. The Chiefs sent me to NFL Europe, so I played in Scotland that summer, and then I came back to camp again and got cut in 2002, and then I went to the CFL and played 2 years for the Ottawa Renegades, and then had two really good seasons in Ottawa in the CFL, which is a really cool game. For those of you who like football, it's different. 12-on-12 feels a little bit bigger, but only three downs. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of offense. So two really good seasons, and then I basically I had my pick of teams. I had like 10 offers after my second year in Canada to come back down. And you know, back then they weren't really keeping young kickers. You know, it was all the veterans. And so I came back down to Kansas City of all the teams because I felt comfortable here. And I actually beat out Morton Anderson, who you guys should know as Falcons fan.
Yeah.
I'm the only player ever to beat Morton Anderson out, and he just inducted into the Hall of Fame. So. A little cherry on top, but yeah, it's a tough grind. I mean, to be one of 32 people in the world is a tough job to get. So,
I'm kidding. Well, and the only player in NFL history to have two overtime game-winning field goals in the playoffs, and obviously performed well in the Super Bowl for the Giants. So, we wanted to ask you a little bit about kicking. Like, if here's a question I have, like. Describe this icing the kicker situation. Is that a real thing? And like, do you remember specifically a time when it worked against you, or like, what was your thought when someone tried to ice you? Were you just like, dude, you got to be kidding me? This makes it even easier. Like, talk through the icing the kicker thing.
Yeah, I mean, so here's my theory. Has it worked on me? Technically, yes. And of all places, because the Giants just lost on a 61-yarder yesterday. It was in Philly. So in 2012, it was a Sunday night football. I hit a 56-yarder short, just under the crossbar to win the game. And Andy Reid had called a timeout. So I'm like, sweet, I get another shot. So I was like guaranteeing I was going to make it because it's happened to me 10 times. And, you know, I've always made both typically. But I tried to put too much on it and yanked it a little bit left. So technically, it worked because this time out, I didn't make either one of them, so it's hard to say. But that's happened to me probably just 6 to 10 times. I can't remember how many. I've never missed previously. Like, we would always tell the snapper, whenever you hear the whistle for the timeout, snap it. Because
yeah.
I want to get a practice rep, and they're not going to say anything. And I wore earplugs anyway, so I would just say, look, I didn't hear the whistle. I wear earplugs. So, anyway, so that, it just depends. Like, for instance, yesterday, I would not have called a timeout. Because for me, I've always said to my coach would ask me, like, you know, what should we do, like, with these guys kicking? I'm like, don't call the timeout. I think there's more anxiety running out there, boom, you got to go kick it. As opposed to, oh, let's give this guy a timeout. And you know, in college, it's even more bizarre because they can call 3 in a row. Like, I saw that happen Saturday. I think one team had 3 timeouts. They called all 3 of them. Just sitting there, like, this guy's out there. He just went to his net, I think, and kicked some warm-up kicks. So, in the NFL, you can only call 1 timeout. You can't call more than 1 in session. So, I always told our coach, I told Coach Coughlin, I was like, look, if it was me, I wouldn't call one. I would just let them go out there. Because once you call a timeout, then I get to kind of take another deep breath and kind of go through my checklist again. So, I don't know. I don't know what the stats are on it. I've never seen one, but I can't imagine icing is really effective.
Good to know.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, just an overall, just the stats on that. Like, over, like, look at, like, 7 or 8 seasons of that and just see if it actually does work. But I agree. I think it's kind of dumb. But, all right, so I got a question. This is kind of out there.
We're really glad you agree with that, Pat. Really glad you agree with that. That meant a lot.
Thank you. I know Lawrence is. So listen, all right. Think of you in the prime time, Lawrence, like in your career, you're kicking the best that you've ever kicked. So you're 60 yards out. You have a football in front of you and a golf ball in front of you. Do you trust your leg or your pitching wedge to make it through the upright? You got to choose one of them. What are you going to choose?
My leg.
What?
All day long.
No way.
Dang, I was hoping for the
60 yards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's probably the worst. I can bang it. I can putt. My wedge game is horrendous.
Not
good. Horrendous. And I have no idea. I've tried for years to figure it out. I think I'm just, I don't know. I'm too handsy.
His isn't willing to help you with that?
I don't ask for his
help. Even with a pass, like even with a rush on you, like not that you're just sitting there in the clear with just a straight shot at the goalpost. I'm talking about you got linemen. Yeah, game situation. You're still going to take your foot.
Yeah, oh yeah, I am. That's what I got paid to do. I never got paid to play golf unless it was for an appearance.
It's a 60-yard shot.
Yeah, but that's okay. At the end of the day, like you're talking about, I mean, I could probably go out there tomorrow and make a 60-yarder. You know, it's not, I'm 39 years old. Like, 60 yards is far, in the grand scheme of things, because that's the number people always peg is. But, man, I've hit from 72 in college, so it's not like, that's 12 yards closer. So, I mean, that's a big difference.
Can you tell which tour junkie compose that question and why?
I have no idea. No.
Pat, why are you?
Did somebody kick in college? Did one of you guys kick in high school or something?
No, absolutely not. I'm laughing because only Pat would need a pitching wedge to hit a 60-yard freaking shot. Like that's a lob wedge for your boy. But Pat carries his driver about 230. So
I can I can hit a knock if I'm trying to go through the upright.
A knockdown 60-yard pitching wedge.
Like a knockdown pitching wedge, I feel I can hit it straighter. I mean, it doesn't matter how far it goes; it matters how straight it goes.
How are your 2 golf games?
You know, Lawrence, we should just move on. No,
we're not that good, huh?
We love golf.
Growing up in Augusta is like almost like being born in Scotland. Like half the golf, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we both. Well, David started. David is a better golfer. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. But I started at a much younger age than he did. And so I'm about a 12 right now. David's probably a what, 8 or 9?
I mean, I'm probably 9, 10, maybe. Yeah, I played baseball my whole life, and it started off until I was about 19. So I can hit it a long way. I just don't know where it's going. If I could ever figure out how to hit a few more fairways, or at least not lose golf balls off the tee, I would easily be a single-digit guy all the time. But it is all about the driver for me. If my driver is on, I could shoot a 75. If it's off, I could shoot a 95. Like, that's literally the gap.
I'm the same way. Like, I mean, we're the same two guys. Like, I've actually put driver away. Like, I hit this, like, Callaway 3-wood that I have.
Yeah.
And I can hit it, you know, 280. I mean, I can – that's all you need when you're playing blue tee. I don't play the tip, so.
No, me neither. No. But Pat's a good – Pat, we have some good battles because Pat has a pretty good short game. Like, he's got a good – it's old man golf. You know, he's got the wedge game. He can putt. He can roll the rock, you know, and I'm waving by him on the tee when I hit a good one. And then next thing I know, we got the same freaking score when it's all over. So we've had some good matches before, but lately I've kind of beat the brakes off of him. I don't know. He's lost a little bit of something he has. So. But we both love it. I mean, like,
been working totally too hard.
We have been working too hard. And, you know, we got kids, and you know how that is. Like, it's just,
right.
It's tough. TJ is a growing hobby / job for us. And we just don't have the time, but we're gonna change that one today. I want to ask you, going back to football, what kinds of things would opposing linemen, would they yell at you for like a big kick, or did you ever have like a really funny taunt that you remember? Or did they really not do that?
Yeah, guys would talk shit all the time, but you know, it's funny. The one I remember the most is there was a guy. Named Terrence Knight. You remember that name? His nickname was Pot Roast.
I remember Pot Roast.
Pot Roast. Played for like the Skins, the Jaguars to start, then the Skins, and then he went to like Denver. Pot Roast. It was like the greatest nickname of all time. So
very good.
It was like 2000, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, one of those years. We're beating the shit out of the Jaguars, and we're up in New York. And like fourth quarter. And I think I kicked like my third or fourth field goal. And Pot Roast comes over to me. He goes, "Atta baby Tynes, I have you on my fantasy team today. And I'm like, "What in the hell is going on?" I'm like, the opposing D lineman. And everybody knew who Pot Roast was because he's a big personality, funny guy. I was dying laughing because we were beating the shit out of him. Like, he didn't even care about the score. He's like, "Atta baby. You know, I started you in my fantasy league." I'm like, "That's awesome."
Now, did you play much fantasy when you were actually playing?
You know, I didn't. I never played fantasy. We do now. You know, I've been in some leagues, and then now we just kind of have me and my wife and my two kids. But, man, I didn't have anything. I've never had Facebook. I never had Twitter, and I never had Instagram.
Wow.
When I played. So, like, I really started all this stuff. Like, I wish I should have started, you know, Twitter. But for me, like, I just wasn't interested in it, and it was just another way, and young athletes should learn from this. It's just another way for people to get at you and, like, attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, every one of us is
Kevin Durant.
Well, every one of us is going to screw up, right? We're all going to have a bad game. It's going to be on TV. Everyone's going to see it. You're going to miss a kick. And, like, I was like, I don't – but people say they don't read it. They're lying. They all read it. And so, for me, I just was something that I just didn't even want to be a part of. And in hindsight, I'm kind of glad I did it. Like, I still don't have Facebook. Never had it. I don't even know I've never even been on Facebook.com. But Twitter and Instagram's fun. I mean, I like to interact with the fans now. And I can talk so much shit to people, and no one can ever say anything to me because I can't fuck up anymore. So
that's what I was thinking.
That's the best thing in the world. Like especially, like, Eagles fans, Patriots fans. Like, they'll never see me kick another field goal the rest of my life. So, like,
it's a perfect way to play it, you know? I mean, see your career and then get on Twitter.
I agree. Now, in hindsight, a part of me wishes I would have done it while I was playing, because then you'd have, like, you know, like, 500,000 followers and whatever. But I'm not into all that. I'm really into it. I really look at it for news and updates and sports. And I do like to talk trash on there sometimes with other fans and, you know, mingle with all the current fans, because we still have a lot of fans. We had a lot of success up there. So Giants faithful is, they're faithful, man. They will follow you, and, you know, they'll praise you your whole career. You win a championship in New York, man, and you are forever a New Yorker.
So are there, who was like one of the biggest characters that you played with on the Giants? Like, maybe like just the biggest personality, funny guy.
And you can't say Michael Strahan.
Yeah, that's too easy. You know, Eli, you know, you guys don't, no one really gets to see Eli outside of post game interviews and if you've ever met him, but he's a funny dude, man. He's like, he's like filling your shoes up with, like, you know, shave cream. He just was always like scheming to like do something to somebody. So him, and there's so many, I mean, most of the dudes are just so funny. Golly, Rich Soiber, you know, offensive linemen are always typically funny guys. They love to talk shit to kickers, which is awesome. There's just too many to name, but, you know, Eli's one guy I would say for sure. Most people probably wouldn't see that, but he is.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
He's hilarious. He's funny.
What about, like, as a kicker, do you feel like a member of the team, like one of the boys? And what about feelings of potential inadequacy being a 6 foot tall white boy in those community showers?
Yeah, listen, kickers nowadays are not the Gary Upremians, the guy that, you know, that says, I keep the ball, or, you know, you see, everyone's seen NFL films, and the guy that the bad snap or something that blocked field goal, the Miami kicker picks it up and fumbles it again. And I just think, you know, you see the stature of these guys even now. I mean, the kicker for the Giants right now is 6'4", 220. I mean, he looks like an outside linebacker. I was 6'2", 205. I was bigger than most DBs, corners anyway, not safeties. But I think if you integrate yourself and do your job, because believe me, everybody wants to be a kicker except on Sunday, and because our schedule is so sweet during the week. Like, I'm not tackling, I'm not banging head, I'm just working on my craft, just like a golfer. But I'll tell you this, there's not very few people in that locker room that you could find that want to go out there with 3 seconds left and kick a field goal. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure.
You know, Antrell Roll, one of the greatest safeties of all time, he was on our second Super Bowl team, and he came up to me after the game. I think it was after we flew back from San Fran, and the next morning he's like, man, I don't know how y'all do that shit. it was just so funny because, you know, those guys get 60, 70 plays a game.
Yeah.
And if they mess up, so what? You know, they may get burned here or there. But, you know, sometimes we get one shot, sometimes you get six. You know, you just, for kicking is the unknown. Like, how many times am I going to get the kick today? And that's why the only thing you can work on is your routine, because you're only guaranteed a kickoff. That's all you're guaranteed in a football game. So you have no idea whether you're going to kick 6 KPs, 3 field goals, or whatever. So that's why the preparation is a little bit monotonous. But guys accept you, man. I mean, if I did all the work they did, I ran with all those guys, I worked with the DBs during practice because I was a pseudo, you know, DB in high school. So, like, during practice, you know, you can't kick all practice. So, like, I spent a lot of time with the DBs. And so, like, all the DBs, like, even gave me, like, my own sweet towel. You know, the towels that, like, hang out your jersey, like your pants? So the Giants DBs all had their own sweet towel, so they made 2 sweet towels for me. Mine said Nasty 9 on there. I have no idea why it was Nasty 9, but my number was 9. But that was just how I, you know, you got to integrate yourself with your teammates, and I tried to do that. I tried to do everything they did, the running, the lifting. And then, you know, you show up and do your job on Sunday, those guys will accept you. So going to the shower part, you know, but, you know, people call me tripod, so, I mean, I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So I got my last kicking question, which David may have more, but I want to get into some golf. So that being said, though, would you be more nervous on the first tee or kicking with the game on the line? Like, like, you, and let's just say the first tee, like, you're playing in, like, a pro-am, and there's actually people watching.
Yeah, I've done that. So, I, you know, I play in a lot of those during the year, like, pro-ams for the web. The Folds of Honor is a big tournament I play in every year, and there's small galleries. I am always more nervous doing that. You know, I got paid to kick, and so I knew what I was doing. And I always said, you're only nervous when you're unprepared. I've always believed in that. And so, like, I mean, I'm on the first tee. I'm not a pro golfer, so I'm totally unprepared. So I've always lived by that. Like, when I kicked, I mean, that's what I got paid to do, and I've always felt like I was prepared. So I really was never nervous.
So with golf, I mean, obviously we know, we talk about you're a golf junkie. So, you know, in what ways does that manifest for you? I mean, are you, do you play golf a ton? Are you watching golf a ton? Do you actually, do you bet golf? Do you play DFS golf? You know, David and I talk DraftKings and that kind of stuff. And mostly in the golf world, we don't really talk about the NFL and all that kind of stuff. So for you with your golf addiction, you know, how does that manifest itself for Lawrence Tynes?
So I played a ton up until this year. For whatever reason, you know, I have twin boys that are 10 now, and their sports schedule is absolutely chaotic. And I always said to myself, you know, I'm fortunate to be home a lot, and I'm glad I get to coach all my kids in soccer and baseball. You know, there's a lot of dads that would kill to do that and be at every game and all that stuff. So I have not golfed maybe 15 times this year, which is probably going to shock you, but last year I probably played, you know, 40, 50 rounds, and typically that's where I was. I do a lot of charity events. I do a lot of pro-ams. I do a Folds of Honor is the one tournament I will not miss down in Owosso, Oklahoma with Dan Rooney. And if you guys follow golf, I'm sure you know what Folds of Honor is all about. But that's a great tournament. Kid Rock, I mean, Nancy Lopez, tons of tour guys, tons of senior tour guys. So that is one of the greatest events. And so I watch golf now. So, you know, I'll check scores Thursday and Friday. You know, Thursday is kind of a soccer day. Friday I'm off, so I'll watch kind of that mid to late afternoon on the Golf Channel. And then I will typically tune in on Sundays. I don't really care for Saturday's round. But Sundays I'll try and watch as much of that as possible, especially if, you know, some people I know or any of the Wheels Up guys are in contention. So, which has seemed like it's been a lot of over the last couple of months. We've had a Wheels Up guy or somebody I know personally. So it's been a lot of fun when you get to pull for somebody that you personally know and watch the game. So I would say my addiction now is really, you know, just as a viewer. I don't get to play nearly as much as I want to.
You, I know, I think you're kind of an ambassador for PXG. So talk about that a little bit. I mean, how did you get hooked up with PXG? We had Bob Parsons on the show. I guess about a month or two ago, and he's fantastic, by the way. And if you want to go back and listen to one, I think that's definitely one to go listen to. But so how did you get hooked up with PXG?
So I was out at the Shriners, maybe 2015. I was out at the Shriners with a guy named Jeff Fujimoto. And Fuj is, I want to say he used to be an agent. I think he used to work with Robert Streb, who's a buddy of mine that lives around me here. So I was on the hole. It was a Wheels Up hole. So we were sponsoring the pro-am. So I was on the par three close to the clubhouse and just sitting there, just mingling and meeting people and shaking hands and telling people about Wheels Up. And Jeff gets up there, Fujimoto. I don't know Jeff's title at PXG, but he's a pretty high up guy. So he puts his club down. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the hell is this guy hitting? Because it's obviously unique with the rivets in the back. And so he comes over after he hits, and I kind of just pick it up and look at it. I'm like, what is this? And, you know, he knew who I was. And so he said, You want a set of these? I'm like, sure. Yeah, love to. I had no idea. Like, I thought I'm getting like a $1,000 set of clubs. I had no idea until I got them, like, in this box, that they're like $400 a club. So he's kind of like, hey, will you, you know, kind of share these on Instagram, Twitter, and stuff like that? And I'm like, Absolutely. And so I think I had PXGs before even people knew what they were. And now half my damn club hits them. So they're awesome clubs. Have you guys hit them?
No, we would like to be ambassadors. Is there a way?
Yeah, we were, that was our next question.
Listen, I mean, once we get this Twitter handle up to like 100,000, why shouldn't you be?
Oh, God, I love that.
And I like your golfers. I like kind of who's in their little stable.
Yeah.
Their golfers, but their equipment is pretty sick. I've not hit any of their drivers, but the irons are awesome.
I'm pretty obsessed with Bob Parsons. After I really, really wanted him anyway, and we worked really freaking hard to get him. Like, we probably worked harder to get Bob Parsons than we have worked to get any guest that's been on our show, period. And we finally got him, and he is easily one of my very favorite people that are alive right now. I just think he's one of the coolest guys.
Well, he's just kind of like an American hero. Like,
he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's, and what he's done, what he's done professionally outside of the military, I mean, to build this billion-dollar, and then to disrupt the golf world, which was pretty much stale as, you know, 10-day-old crackers. Yeah. I think it's cool.
It's very cool. All right, I want to know about the Wheels Up gig. So you retire from the NFL, you start selling and doing some business, like, business, I guess, like consultant work for Wheels Up or something. Like, tell me how that works. And I want to know, in fact, we've had a lot of listeners. So we had a deal a couple months ago where we asked listeners to give us questions to kind of put in our bank of things to ask people when we had on the show. And we had a number of listeners ask about how the, you know, private aviation thing works with some of these big names that fly privately, you know, here and there. So kind of tell us how you got into it, what you do for Wheels Up, and something about that whole, you know, process that a lot of us common folks don't know.
What's up, golf addicts? Listen, I want to take a brief time out from this awesome interview with Lawrence Tynes and tell you guys about mybookie.ag. It is the new site where me and Pat are taking our traditional golf betting dollars. We moved it over from a previous provider and we started using MyBookie for a couple reasons. Number one, the minimum withdrawal amount is only $100. A lot of these other sites make you get up to $500 and even more to make a withdrawal. So we love that part. MyBookie is reliable, great reputation, and really fast payouts. They pay you out in like less than 2 days. It's incredibly fast. And right now they're doing a 100% cash bonus when you make your first deposit. We've already had a few listeners do this after the podcast last week. So if you want to do some traditional golf betting or betting the NFL or anything else, you can even bet on the next Pope, which is pretty funny. If you want to knock that out, go to mybookie.ag. When you sign up, put TOR100 in the promo code box, TOUR100 in the promo code, and you can get a 100% bonus on your first deposit. They're also a pretty good Twitter account. If you don't follow them, at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They're actually kind of funny. So check that out, and thanks again for listening to this week's pod. Let's get back to it.
The Wheels Up is a four-year-old company. It's a membership-based private aviation solution. So, you know, currently we have roughly 80 airplanes and just under 5,000 members. And we have about, I want to say at last count, and I don't officially handle the tour anymore. I used to do a lot of it in my first year and a half. And now we have another guy that does it. I want to say we have about just maybe 35 to 40 tour golfers. Wow. So we have, I want to say 20 of the top 50 in the world, which is good. Wow. You know, Ricky Fowler, Kevin Kisner, J.B. Holmes, Russell Knox. And there's just a stable of them. So I got involved in that through friends in Wichita, which, believe it or not, is the aviation capital of the world. Two friends of mine, Christy Tannehill and Brian Howler, involved with Beechcraft and down in Wichita. So once Wheels Up started, who, you know, 4 years ago, it was a year old when I started. I just jumped on board, man. I had no idea what I was getting into. But one thing I've learned from veteran players when they retired is that you have to find something to do, like, immediately. Yeah. So I found Wheels Up like 9 months after I retired. And so jumped right in, love it. It's, you know, to me, the best company in the world. And so you know, I do the Midwest, and then I have MLB, NFL, PGA, LPGA. So I handle a ton of athletes. I'm around a lot of athletes still. I won't get into how the deals work because contractually, you know, everybody's deal is different. So I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, but you can just imagine, right? The top guys get this and the other guys get that. So that's basically how it works, right? If you're a top 10 player, you get something, you know, and on and on and on. And it's all about exposure for us, you know. Obviously, you see the shirt collars, the hats, yep. The yoke, the shirt, the sleeve, the chest. So, and I'll tell you this, Kevin Kisner, when we got Kevin, I want to say Kevin was somewhere around 180th in the world. So he has been awesome for us, not only just his golf play, but just his personality and the way he interacts. We have events year-round with members, and Kevin comes in along with all the other tour guys. We have a great group of guys, and it's just awesome. But they spend their time with our members, and it kind of puts them in a personal setting on a golf course with other members. You know, those members love that. Anyone that has played golf with a pro golfer knows how fun it is.
We've got a couple more thoughts, ones we want to spend a little amount of time on, and then we want to hit you with some quick hitters and pull you in what we call the native area. So,
got it.
But before we get into that, so you mentioned earlier you went to school at Milton in Florida. Basically, grew up with Bubba, and then you said Boo and Heath Flickum were a little older than you. What about? I mean, you mentioned Bubba beat the brakes off of golf growing up. No shocker there. But what about other? Any other cool stories from those guys, or how close are your relationships with those guys now?
I'm not super close with any of them, to be honest. I mean, obviously, when I see Boo or Bubba, or I walked with Angie last year at the Masters. I walked with, goodness gracious, why is his name escaping my brain? I'll come back to it. But Boo was pretty close with my brother. Boo's just always been Boo. I mean, it's so funny to have like a Heath Slocum, who's super quiet, just kind of jumps off. You got the biggest redneck hunter fisherman in the world, Boo, and then you got Bubba, who's like this kind of standoffish, you know, kind of a centric guy. It's like, but you know, I knew all three of them were going to do something with golf. I mean, even at a young age, they were just all three that good. You obviously never think in a million years you're going to have three tour winners in your town, but Boo was Boo, man. Like, he's the one guy, like, you'd be on the golf course, and he'd pull up, come tearing through the woods, and just skid his cart up next to you with a, you know, six-pack of beer in the back and say, "Can I play with y'all?" And I'm like, "Well, hell yeah, come on." So that's just Boo. I mean, he's you know, that's why people love him, and obviously he's done well. I'm happy as hell for him. He's one of the good guys and probably still one of the best ball strikers out there, I would imagine.
Sure. Do you think Bubba is misunderstood by the general public?
You know, I don't know. Bubba's been Bubba. He's been like that since he was little, though. He's always been kind of off to himself, and he was a really good baseball player. I know he played a little bit of basketball, but misunderstood? I don't know. You know, I pull for him like hell. I mean, I'm one of his biggest fans, so I don't know. You know, I don't know Bubba really past, you know, the age of 19, 20.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, misunderstood. I know a lot of people talk smack about him, and he's his own guy. But at the end of the day, I've always said, you know what? Like, no one out there's. I mean, it's cool to have friends and your job and what you do, but everybody out there is trying to beat you. So I don't know that his mentality is the wrong one to have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would actually kind of like it if a lot of people hated me on tour. I don't know. Maybe that's just because we're all from Milton. I don't know. We all have a chip on our shoulder, so.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know. But he's done big things out there. So I just, the one thing I would change is, like, for me, like, not like there's a bunch of tour guys that do. It's not your caddy's fault. You hit the fucking golf ball. Like,
right.
I hate that. Like, sometimes I'll turn it off. Like, I won't even watch it. So I hear someone complaining to their caddy. Like, you know how far you hit that damn club? Like what he's supposed to tell? He's just giving you the club, like, and he's just there for to like put his arm around you. Like, you know how far you can hit that club, right?
I mean, Bubba kind of gives it. Bubba kind of gives it to Seth Scott pretty good.
Yeah, Teddy takes it. I mean, like a champ. But there's just so many guys that just, I don't know, it just rubs me the wrong way. And the whole silence thing, like, what is that about? Like, just concentrate and hit the fucking ball, right? Like, I don't know. maybe it's because I kicked and, like, there's 90,000 people yelling, but, like, you can focus. Anyone can focus. I mean, I don't know. I get it. It's a gentleman's sport, man.
Yeah, done out.
I wish they had a tournament like 16 at Scottsdale.
Yeah, the whole way around.
That would be insanity. And not all of them are going to have 30,000. Say you get 5, 2, 1.
Yeah.
You know, just something to make it just kind of epic. We could get that done with Barson. We need him back on the phone.
Oh, God, that would be a freak. That would be freaking amazing.
He would probably sign up for that. He wants to flip tour upside down. And, like, that would be just the most epic event of all time. Like, you could get, like, 1 million people out there that week.
Easily.
If you did little, you know, just stadiums around. And you could charge such a premium around the greens where it's not comprised of one hole. It's on all 18. And you can do whatever the hell you want and just see how well they shoot.
I mean, I'll play like that with my buddies. You know, like I'll say, listen, we're going to play, and I can say whatever I want when I want to say.
Yes, like, just deal with just it. Like, I think guys would, especially, I think this era of player, like the Spies, the Thomases, like these guys would, that's why I think it's grown to where it's at, because they would enjoy that to an extent. Now, I'm not saying to do that at Augusta National, that's what makes it so prestigious.
Right.
But, like, one tournament a year, just make it a complete shit show.
That would be awesome.
I think that's the best idea I've heard in a while.
Who should be the sponsor of that? Who would be
Parsons,
the best sponsor?
PXG.
Bob Parsons.
Well, yeah.
PXG.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
this is kind of what he wants to do.
it should,
I don't know.
It should be Waste Management. Shit show. It should be Waste Management.
How about GoDaddy?
GoDaddy, Waste
GoDaddy,
Management.
Yeah.
I mean, Red Bull, Vodka, Pitos.
Yeah.
Tito's would be the best sponsor.
I mean, Pat, Crown.
You struck a nerve. You struck a nerve with Pat when you said Tito's.
Crown.
Yeah.
I mean, just whatever, Royal, whatever we want. I mean, just make it.
Awesome.
And just charge, you know, because the thing I hate about Scottsdale, if there is one thing, is my God, the crowd. Like, it's a great tournament, but I've only been once, and, like, I'm not going back. It's just too damn crowded. You can't even see any golf.
Really? See, that one's kind of circled on the impact list. We've never been, and
no, you got to go. You got to go.
Yeah, I mean, those are our people. You know what I mean? Like, that's like our brand.
But you know, the Ryder Cup was kind of the same
way.
That's
true.
I mean,
yeah, the Ryder Cup.
It was very hard when we were there last year to watch a lot of golf, but it was still.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. It was so much
Augusta
fun.
For me. I've been the last 4 years. Like, I go Friday, I fly on Wednesday, go play golf Thursday at, like, Sage Valley, or I'll play, he has this course, whatever the hell the name it is.
Palmetto.
And then, Palmetto, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go to the course, and then fly home, like, middays. We go Friday, Saturday, fly home Sunday morning. So, I like it, I love hitting the term, because it feels like everybody's, you know, at a main corner, but, like, I like 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, it seems like the crowd's starting to loosen up, and on the front, the crowds, you know, you can always see the golf at Augusta, though. Like, I don't feel like
you can,
especially if you're following, like, I followed kids on Friday and Saturday both days. Like, you know, if you're not in the top 5 or 10, you can pretty much follow anybody.
Right. All right. So we want to take in the native area here, Lawrence. So I'm sure you have. it is. You know, it's all about just, you don't know what you're going to get. We're going to throw some quick hitters at you. We just want you to rattle off what comes to your mind. We have never had anyone pass on a question before, okay?
Mm, okay.
Now, I feel like there could be one in here that you might pass on. So it's okay if you do. It's okay if you do. I'm just saying that's never happened.
I never asked. Thanks.
Yep. All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I'll kick this off. Name three things that you hate.
A strong word.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots, Eagles, Cowboys.
Okay. Fair enough. I should have seen that one coming.
Perfect. Perfect answer.
If you could punch any former NFL player and current NFL player in the face without consequence, who would it be?
Former? Man, former NFL player who I punch in the face. Oh, man. Golly. Can I come back to that one?
Yeah, what about current?
Yeah, let me come back to that one, because I gotta, I mean, there's millions, thousands of players. I'm just having to,
Is there a current NFL player that you're like, you see him on TV and you're like, God, I want to hit that guy?
Oh, 100%, Josh Norman.
Yes, Redskins shutdown.
Yes.
Okay, so you nailed that one. Okay, we'll come back to that one. All right, what about a band or artist that would be considered a guilty pleasure that you enjoy?
Oh, I mean, like anyone? Like Tupac?
No, but that's not a guilty... Oh, by the way, I love Tupac. That's not a guilty pleasure, though. Like, by guilty pleasure, I mean slightly embarrassing. Like, for me, everybody knows I'm a big Bieber fan. You know, I can catch a little bit of heat for that. I don't care. Like, we've had a tour player on here.
Oh,
I don't know who it was.
Listen, what's the guy's name? Oh, Shawn Mendes.
You like Shawn Mendes? He's good. Yeah, he can sing. Yeah, somebody said Taylor Swift. We had a tour pro said Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
something like that.
I mean, I like, you know, like, yeah, I like her songs. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. So, in that same vein, you're invited to sing carpool karaoke. What are your two go-to songs?
Carpool karaoke.
Yeah, have you seen that with James Corbin?
Oh, yeah, hysterical. Yeah. I'm definitely going to sing "Sweet Home Alabama."
Okay,
because I went to Troy, and I still love it.
Of course.
And then, yeah. Cole Swindell is a good buddy of mine, so I'd probably sing "Chillin' It."
There you go. Now, yeah. Do you know any Tupac songs good enough that you could fit some Tupac in that carpool karaoke or not? Just more of a.
Yeah, I mean. You know, I haven't. I've got some loaded into my phone, but you know, it gets kind of. My kids are like, "Dad, what the hell are we listening to?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot there's like language in there." So,
I gotta ask: laces in or laces out?
It doesn't matter. I mean,
it doesn't
just visually,
matter.
It
no,
doesn't
wait,
matter.
But see, that's the thing. So that was what my next question is. That the most overrated question that kickers get asked?
Yes. Because here's why. Here's why it messes you up. Okay. So you train kicking a football, laces out, laces out, laces out, laces out, laces out. Right. So just say, think of if you did 1,000 reps that way, then all of a sudden I said, "Oh, you're going to kick it this way." It just freaks you out, right? But the sweet spot of the ball is just under the bottom part of the lace. That's where you're kicking it anyway. Now, some people kick a little higher, obviously, but I can hit a 55, 60-yard field goal with the laces back. The only thing it does to you mentally is when you're going to the ball, you're like, oh, shit, why are the laces looking at me? It's like, shouldn't they be looking at the upright? It really just kind of jolts you mentally. So now, does it suck? Yeah, it screws you up. I mean, we all saw, you know, Blair Walsh in the playoff game, how they kind of...
Oh, my God.
You know.
Georgia boy. Bulldog.
Yeah, and so, which he's done a hell of a job, you know, kicking with the Seahawks this year.
He's a good kicker, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. And so, you know, kickers get labeled after one kick, which they shouldn't have done, but it was good for him to get out of there. But, yeah, so really, just a visual thing, but it's almost like I always try... People, you know, golfers love talking to me about kicking because it's similar, right? They always have questions about, you know, your mental. And like, dude, we get one shot, sometimes five. You guys get 70 shots to figure it out. You know, that's what's different, and that's why it's so much more pressure-packed. But, you know, it's almost like I would say, like, if I took a tee ball, people would say, well, what's it like to kick? I'm like, let me take a tee ball to a golfer, okay? And I'm going to put it 3 feet out and hold it with my hand. And as he's swinging his club down, I'm going to bring the ball back down and place it as he's coming down. I mean, obviously, you couldn't do that. You'd get your hand wrecked. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it's like. So that's why laces out, and the ball does carry a little bit better that way. But it's not the end of the world. It's just more of a mental thing.
It's all Ace Ventura's fault. But
it is, which is one of the greatest movies of all time, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Do you ever feel for Finkel?
Ray
you ever,
Finkel?
Like, Ray Finkel, do you feel bad for him?
Until they made him turn around on the boat dock.
Yeah.
Pretty gross. Like, that's not Finkel. Or Einhorn, or whatever. That's a classic movie.
I always like to ask this question. So, Kelly Kapowski or Jesse Spano?
I'm like completely oblivious to like TV and pop culture. So like,
oh my God.
Like,
wow.
We're going to edit this out. You can't.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, we don't want to ruin your career, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, I should know that. Is that someone from like Full House? No.
Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell. Close.
Okay. Well, I knew it was one of those, which I did watch religiously. See, and I just didn't pay enough attention to like, who they are.
Okay, so the brunette that was like
100%, yes.
Okay, or the one that like was had curly hair and she was really tall and
Yes, not the
had a caffeine pill addiction. Not her. Okay, so you're a Kelly Kapowski guy, which is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, there's only one answer to that question. But
you got it.
Okay. All right. So what's your opinion on Roger Goodell?
Overpaid.
Opinion.
I mean, I don't know. He's just a puppet. I mean, he really is. He answers to 32 other owners, and so it's a pretty sweet job if you can get it. But you know, he doesn't really make any decisions other than to suspend guys crazy amounts of time for no reason. I mean, he's the judge and the jury, so I don't understand that. But that's how the NFL works. When he took them from an $8 billion, you know, business to a 14 and 7 years or whatever it was from our last collective bargaining agreement. So I guess you can do that.
You know, yesterday was we're recording this Monday. So yesterday was kind of a big day as far as protests and everything else in the NFL. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or I mean, like, what do you think about this whole deal with sitting during the anthem and everything else? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm 110% against it. So, you know, if I was still playing and my teammates said, hey, we're going to stay in the locker room, there's no fucking way I would do that. I would come out and stand on the sideline with my hand over my heart. And if I'm the only one out there on my team doing it, then I'd be the only one out there. But, you know, my dad served in Desert Storm. My brother is going back to Afghanistan for his third tour in December. To me, there's different times when you should do stuff like that. And so that's just my opinion. I certainly respect what the other guys, you know, are doing. That's their prerogative. But there's no way in hell I wouldn't be out there for the presentation of the colors. On the flip side of that, though, if the NFL wants to, like, do this, you know, protect themselves from a PR nightmare, just go ahead. And my friend here in town, who's an AD, said it was a great idea. Leave every team in the locker room. Every team. They're not allowed to come out. And then bring them out. And because it's almost like the Ray Rice video, right? Ray Rice was playing when we heard he beat his girlfriend. It wasn't until they showed the video that he was never allowed to play in the NFL again. So why is that? If fans don't see it, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. They may know, okay, they're not out here. But I think people would be less agitated if they didn't see it. And so, you know, leave everyone in the locker room. It'll, you know, that's my way of, you know, fixing it. But I know the real reason people are out there kneeling is because they want people to see it at that time. And so I understand that part of it too, but I'm 110% opposed to it. So
Well, and that's the college game. In the college game, they're in the locker room.
Right.
They're in the national
league. Leave them in there. Leave the pro guys in there. And just like the Steelers did yesterday, which was almost unheard of, right? They did it, and then there's a cool picture of that Villanueva, the Army Ranger, standing out there, which he said was an accident, by the way, I read today. I'm like, that's not an accident. He's just trying to cover up for his teammates who got pissed off at him, which is another bullshit story. They should not get pissed off at an Army Ranger. I think Rob O'Neill said it best. I read a thing yesterday that he's a Navy SEAL that killed Osama bin Laden, who I know from the Folds of Honor. Yesterday he said something about if you're, you know, no matter what race or creed or religion you are, anyone that dies in Afghanistan all comes back in a red, white, and blue flag. And so, you know, that hits home with me because my brother could be one of those guys.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good idea, though, to leave in the locker room up here.
Out of sight, out of mind. Like, just leave everyone inside. And, you know, they can watch it on the TV, stand in there, do whatever they need to do. Because, you know, there's TVs in these locker rooms, and they'll show the anthem. And so you guys can stand up in the locker room, I think, which is respectful. Or you could, you know, take a knee, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. All right, so we got a couple more, and then we're going to let you go, Lawrence. If you're awake and can't sleep, what are you thinking about?
Got a million things. I've got
like my answer is always something with Tour Junkies. I'm always like,
is it? Yeah, mine is you know, work. You know, I deal in sales, so I'm always constantly thinking about work. But then I also have a patent pending on a invention that I'm can't wait to get going next year.
That's awesome.
Disrupt the college, or will disrupt football in general. It's just a piece of equipment that, you know, every football team in America will want and need. So I'm excited about that. So I constantly think about that.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm glad I asked that question. That's really cool. We'd love to hear more about that whenever you can talk about it.
But yeah. Once I get the finalization on the patent, I'll be able
feel
free to talk about it.
Killer. All right. So along those lines, like, what's something you spend your money on that most people, you know, would be shocked to hear?
Man, I'm pretty. We vacation. We really like to, you know, travel the world, and we take our boys. We've taken them all over. What do I spend money on? Oh, shoes. My wife probably vouched for that. Yeah, God Almighty.
Like dress shoes or tennis shoes? Anything.
Jordans, threes and fours. I've got all of them. Running shoes that are sweet. I mean, it doesn't matter brand to me. If they're sweet, I'll buy them.
Nice.
Dress shoes. Yeah. Shoes, I probably overindulge there. Golf shoes.
All right, last question. And I think you're going to make it through the native area unscathed, LT. Everyone knows that you have one annoying habit. If you don't, you're not married, which you are, so you probably know about whatever annoying habit you have. So what is your annoying habit that maybe your wife does not like?
Annoying habit is probably, you know, on the weekends, I'm like a couch potato. It drives my wife nuts. Like, I just want to, if we're not coaching a sport or something like that, I'm on the couch for some, like the, yesterday. Like, we had a soccer game at like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was on the couch, like, in and out. I don't even think I got any sun on my face outside of the soccer game. So, like, I don't know, when Sunday Night Football get over? 11?
Yeah, 11:30.
Hates it. Like,
yeah, that's pushing the dog out.
My wife's pretty outgoing, like, always wanting to do stuff. And, like, but when NFL football's on, so you're probably more college. I like the evening college games, but NFL, doesn't matter which game's on. I'll watch it.
Yep. I'm the same way. I don't know if Pat would fit. I mean, obviously, Georgia games are different. I mean, I'm going to watch as much of the Georgia game as possible, but I'm NFL is appointment TV for me. By the way, if Kirby Smart was a wheels-up guy, I guarantee you that Pat Perry could walk up to the airplane and get on the airplane, no problem. And you guys wouldn't even...
Yeah.
That's how stupid Pat Perry looks, just like Kirby Smart. Pull up a picture of Pat and pull up a picture of Kirby Smart.
And if that were the case, like, you guys would put Pat on the airplane, take him to wherever he's going, and Kirby Smart would get
Kirby,
to the airport.
He might be a member. We have a ton of college coaches. But,
yes, he could be. I'm telling you, Pat could totally flip the whole script on wheels up, and Kirby Smart would be left on the runway. They look exactly alike. Exactly.
Okay.
Alike.
Well, listen, if I find out he's a member, then I'll tell you his next flight. Just get there
five minutes
before he does.
Yes, please do.
I just hooked you up, Pat.
Yeah, thank
awesome. You.
How you doing?
Well, I kind of saw your picture on. I guess I did see it on your tourjunkies.com.
Yeah, you got to. There's just a certain angle, especially Pat's LinkedIn picture. Go look at Pat's LinkedIn picture, which is totally goofy, by the way.
Or just send that. Look, send the tweet, the tweet you did from just the other day where you said, hey, it was nice of at Kevin Kisner to invite Pat to the Georgia game.
Yeah, but that's Kirby in the middle of the locker room. Like, I want him to see you and Kirby side by side. It's ridiculous.
That's by the way, that's sweet that he got a helicopter ride down there. Back. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's
called $4.9 million this year. You can just hop on a helicopter.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Yeah, it's Justin Thomas apparently hooked him up. So good on him. That's pretty nice. Good to have friends like that. Pat's never done anything to me like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, once you get this Tour Junkies Bonanza Golf Tournament sponsored out in Scottsdale.
That's what we need to do. We need to do that. We can totally sponsor the tournament. We can invite some rowdy friends.
You guys 110% need to go out there. Like, I'm not even – I mean, I've been a lot of places on tour. Like, that's one place where your audience would – you know, I don't know how you do it. Like, maybe set something up outside the court. I don't know. But you get, you know, what comes through there? 500,000 fans from the weekend or the whole week or something?
Well, yeah. Every time we go to a tournament, we see increase. Like, but, you know, and Pat and I talked about this. Like, if we had come up with this years ago when we were both, you know, single or maybe just married without five kids between the two of us,
right.
Yeah, we could have grown this thing at a much more rapid pace. But every time we go to an event, it doesn't matter how big, stuff happens. Like, I was at East Lake for one day this past week, and stuff was happening. And, like, we met some people, we made some connections, and so it's good. I mean, we want to get some more tournaments for sure, and Scottsdale is on the list. I want to go, though, without the way, like, Bob Parsons told us, you probably won't remember by the time it comes to this, but Bob Parsons told us on the show, like, you get to Scottsdale, and you can be my guest at Scottsdale National. And I was like, oh my God, I want to play Scottsdale National so freaking bad in that part three course, do the PXG thing. And just, I would just love to shake off heart pain. So,
yeah, you should do it.
You should go out there. Yep. All right, man. We appreciate it. You gave us a lot of time. And but we'd love to have you back on, too, if you're up.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, I'm happy to, whenever. You guys got my number now.